Getting home when the world is in lockdown can be very tricky, and for a lot of people, luck, or the lack of it, was the defining factor. Dr. Maria Mililati is a co-director of AUT's Centre for Journalism, Media and Democracy, and she found out how difficult the journey can be the hard way because she spent months just trying to get back to New Zealand. She's diarised her journey for the website Newsroom, and she joins me now. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Where am I speaking to you, Maria?
I'm at the moment in Rotorua in one of these isolation hotels, in my room, where I'm definitely locked in.
Not literally, we hope, with a key.
Yeah. I still have a key, but, you know,
yes.
You don't want to actually venture out, really, from your room because it, you know, feels safer to stay inside. And in today, we actually found out that we had 2 corona cases in this hotel, so... Yeah, it's kind of, you don't really want to leave your room.
I see. You said today you found out that you had a coronavirus case in the hotel.
2.
Okay, where you're staying. I see. So that must have caused a bit of anxiety.
Well, yeah, it's all a bit tricky, as you can guess. The whole experience is quite stressful. You in isolation and you... The people are very kind and nice here, and you know, you get a lot of food and you looked after, but then the information is hard to come by. So that is maybe the hard bit, not to have enough information, really.
Of course, but you had a bit of time to write this article, which documents how this journey's been for you, which has just been phenomenal, really. So let's take you back to when your journey began. What month was that?
So I left New Zealand to Finland in end of February, and then I arrived back on July 10th. So I was away 5 months and sort of officially stranded for 4 months.
So your journey began by a trip to see your family?
Yes, I went to Finland to organise a funeral for my dad.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And then look after for my 83-year-old mom. And I was there to organize all the funeral and stuff and look after for of my mom. And I was intended to come back to New Zealand at end of March.
So this was when we were hearing about coronavirus, obviously. We knew it existed. We weren't in lockdown. And what was the travel like when you left? Did you think, gee, I might not get back now, or you had to go anyway?
No, at that time, remember that was end of February.
Yes.
And we knew about a few cases in China and in Italy, but there was nothing, you know, you could not envision this, that, you know, what would happen so quickly. No, if I would have known the situation and, you know, what would happen, of course, I would have stayed put. I would have actually missed my dad's funeral, but when I left, the situation was nothing like it turned out to be in a month later.
Really? It's been so bad this entire journey, you would have stayed in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah. You know, it took me 4 months to get back. It took me 4 cancelled tickets and actually one on top of that, one domestic flight. And what people don't quite realise here that how difficult still it is get to organise a flight back at home. It's a nightmare.
Where were you when the pandemic started getting properly serious? So you went to Finland in February, and did you then manage to get the funeral organised?
Yeah, we that was end of March, and in Finland, of course, we went lockdown, for 6 weeks just before the funeral was supposed to take place. So, well, I organized all, you know, kind of, you know, funeral for my dad according to his wishes. And then, because then the restrictions kicked in and the government in Finland restricted, of course, that, you know, the people, only 10 people can attend to the funeral. So I had to cancel everything. So I first organized everything, and then I had to cancel everything, including his memorial service and he was, you know, singing in a choir, a big sort of men's choir, and he wanted the choir to sing in his funeral. And of course, we have to cancel all that kind of plans, and that felt hard that you couldn't fulfill his wishes. But, you know, but at least we got to say goodbye to him.
Gosh, what a shame having to cancel it all. But as you say, 10 people only, that would have been really difficult to decide who could be there.
Well, it was then just basically my mom and my sisters, my brother. There was also a little episode on that my sister's little boy got sick at the time, so my sister's family couldn't come to the funeral either because they were worried that my mom would get sick. So there were all kind of, you know, twists in this story, which, you know, I haven't actually recorded everything, but it's been a ride.
Well, how quickly did Finland go into lockdown? You arrived and then things started
to get very serious. So end of February I came, and then things started moving to restrictions started to take place in mid-March, and then everything started to shut down, and and we went to the lockdown, and we were in the bubbles, and and
did
then
you call it,
sorry
to interrupt you. Did they call it a bubble there? I thought that was a New Zealand term.
Yeah, no. I think, you know, they call it bubble everywhere. So
did
yeah,
they, right.
Finnish word is kupla.
Kupla.
Kupla, yeah.
In a coop, perhaps. So what was the feel of Finland's lockdown? We were very quickly here, went into lockdown. It was like an emergency situation. Did it feel the same way there?
Yeah, it went. Everything went actually really quickly. They did need to pass some kind of, you know, laws quickly in the parliament, but it was really quickly moving. I had flights back on 26th of March to come back to New Zealand. So first, before that, my domestic flight was cancelled, and then I had a period of 48 hours to get back, and then in that period of 48 hours, both my tickets disappeared. So I thought I was safe because I booked tickets via Doha and another set via Tokyo, and they disappeared in a matter of hours. And after that, there was nothing.
Oh, so you took two routes, one via Tokyo and the other, you said, via Doha. Did you have to pay for both of those flights, or did you just...
Yes.
And did you get your money back on them?
I got money from one, but I'm still waiting from Qatar my money back. And, of course, after that, I have booked two extra tickets, which one was cancelled, and I haven't got the money back. So when people say that, you know, that you should come home and it's easy to change the tickets and it's easy to fly back, then, you know, they don't actually think about this huge cost also, what we are getting.
So once it was obvious to you that you couldn't get home, where did you go to lock down in Finland?
So I stayed, you know, the first month when I was looking after my mom, I stayed with her, and then I went to the forest in a cottage for 6 weeks because I needed to start to work. And so I was basically working from 17,000 kilometers away remotely, talking about remote working. So I stayed really in an isolated spot for 6 weeks, and that was kind of lonely existence.
I bet. Did you hire a cottage in this forest?
No, we have, you know, all the Finns have the cottage. You know, we are like, you know, the Kiwi guys, or most of the Kiwis have some sort of patch somewhere. So, we have...
Not everyone.
You know, the cottage. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you had your own little cottage in a forest, and you were there on your own, and you were zooming into Auckland, I guess, to do your work.
I was doing... I'm a lecturer at AUT, so I did lectures, and, you know, I couldn't do online tutorials because of time difference, but I did a lot of tutorial materials and things like that, and, of course, a lot of marking, you know. University
yes.
didn't stop, you know.
And you were obviously keeping an eye on what was going on here at home and the situation mirrored in Finland as well. Did you get a sense of how everyone was back here?
Yeah, of course I talked to my husband.
He was here.
My husband was here, and my daughter was in Melbourne, where she was in lockdown, and she's again in lockdown. So we were scattered. You know, my husband was here and my daughter was in Australia and I was on my own in Finland.
So when did you start to get some sort of hope that you might be able to leave Finland and come back to New Zealand?
So there were early signs that, you know, there might be some flights in May. So I moved to Finnish capital Helsinki in May in, you know, sort of hope that I can catch the flight. And then I realized quite quickly that it's not going to work. There were no flights. And in June, I was hoping to get some flights. But then there was, again, I bought two tickets and one of those cancelled and one was all the time changed. So eventually I got that flight back. I left Finland on July the 8th.
And knowing what was going on in New Zealand, were you keeping up with what was being said on social media about people coming back into the country? And there was quite a bit of negative stuff that was put online, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, it was pretty, you know, upsetting. Really made you feel more anxious because, you know, there were really, really hateful comments, and I found the rhetoric really hostile when, you know, the Kiwis back at home were talking about us who were stranded in terms like, you know, them and, you know, close the borders from them and don't let these people in and make these people pay. So that kind of rhetoric was really, I think, hurtful and made you more anxious. You know, it wasn't nice.
And then, we of course, had the story broke that the government might instruct New Zealanders to stay where they were because the hotels for isolation here were at full capacity. Where were you when you heard that news? Still in Helsinki?
Yeah, I was still in Helsinki and I was freaking out. Luckily, I had bought the tickets before that. So, but there was a period when I was not quite sure that, you know, does it actually apply also for the tickets which we already had. But then it was clear that, okay, it was just for the new tickets. And so I had a lucky escape in that, finally I had a window to get back home. So, but it was, again, there was a lot of kind of uncertainty or no visibility that what did it actually mean when they announced that. So it was a bit sort of... a scary time, but luckily my ticket was bought before that.
You haven't been home long. It's the 15th today. You arrived back in Auckland on the 10th, and that flight was particularly arduous. How many hours did it take you?
Yeah, because I had to hop from the different places, and then, of course, there were waiting times in the different airports, so it took me total time of travel was 54 hours.
Gee, that's a very long time, with no stopovers, just waiting at airports.
Yeah, no, I had to wait in. I flew from Helsinki to Frankfurt, so I had to wait 4 hours in Frankfurt, and then from Frankfurt to Dubai, and then I had to wait a long time in Dubai, and then it was straight from Dubai, stopping in Bangkok for fueling for an hour, and then. To Auckland, and of course, on top of that, when you arrived, then you were shipped to your isolation hotel for extra 3 hours. So you can guess that it was somewhat exhausting.
Yes, and just on the flight coming into New Zealand, or the flights, should I say, were people wearing masks?
Yeah, everybody was wearing masks, and then also in both flights, the air hostesses were wearing, you know, all sort of PPE gear, so they had masks and they had those, you know, whatever you call those, coats and gloves. And they were, everybody had masks, and it was, you had to wear the mask also at airports.
And what was the mood like on the planes that you were on? How were people feeling? Were they just happy that they were heading home?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the food wasn't actually the, you know, you were not, at once you were not actually complaining or thinking too much of that.
No.
You're just hoping that you're not stopping anywhere and you finally get home.
So you arrived at Auckland. What time did you get in into Auckland?
What time did we come? That's a
probably can't
morning,
remember.
I think it was around 10 o'clock something in the morning.
You must have been overwhelmed after all of that time to finally be home.
Well, I broke in tears in a health check. You know, that was the first thing when you came through with your luggage. There was a health check. They took your temperature. But it wasn't because they took my temperature, but I was just so overwhelmed and so relieved and so exhausted at the same time. And the, of course, then you knew that you came home, but you couldn't go home. So you couldn't get your own home. So that was a bit... Yeah.
Was your husband there to just wave across the airport? Or
No. They can't. No one can actually enter there.
You come into a separate part. Yeah. Right, okay.
And I wouldn't have let him anyway because that would have been super hard.
Yeah, just to see him, I see, yes. So you arrived at the airport, you're taken into a separate area. Then what happened? You're now in Rotorua, so how did you get there?
So after we came through the airport, then we were loaded in a bus, and then we were in a bus for 3 hours. We had one stop on route, and that was also quite interesting because we had a when we had the stop, there were 3 armed police officers guarding our visit to the bathroom, and I thought that was a little over the top.
Were they at where the bathroom stop was, or were they on the bus?
No, they were where the bathroom stop was. So on the bus, we were just us and the driver.
I see. And so when you went to the bathroom, they were obviously waiting for your arrival. And, yeah, that would have been a bit strange. But I guess I guess they didn't want you to escape.
Yeah, no, I can report that no one escaped.
Okay, so you finally got to your hotel. And what sort of a room are you in there? And how is everything at the hotel?
So I was assigned a sort of double room. It's quite, you know, reasonably sized. There's a window, luckily, and you have a bathroom. That's pretty much it. Okay, you have a Wi-Fi that you can connect and things like that. So, it's really good in that way that, you know, it's roomy. It's quite quiet, actually, which is quite funny. We are fed really well, and we have health check every morning. They take our temperature every morning. We had our COVID tests already, the first ones. And, yeah.
A lot of people talking about making arrivals back to people who are arriving back to New Zealand pay for their hotel. What would you feel about that?
Well, I felt really strongly that I should not pay if I left before lockdown, for example, you know, which I did. It was not my fault that the country went to the lockdown when I was away. If this is a kind of a schedule that government is imposing this to us, and that we have to go to this isolation unit, so I don't understand why anyone should pay for that. In other countries, like in Finland, you go to your own home, and why can't we go home here? I think is it just that, you know, the government doesn't trust their own citizens, which is the case, I guess. But then if you put on a context that, you know, only 4 people have escaped and we have about 30,000 people have gone through this facility, so it's a bit puzzling to me.
So around your hotel, who is providing security? Is it noticeable?
There are security guards, and then there are military personnel here, and also I have seen one police officer going around.
Do you talk to them?
Not really. I talk mostly because I don't leave my room, so I talk
as you
to
said,
the nurses
yeah.
who... in the morning, and then yes. I talk to people who deliver my food, but that's pretty much it.
And so the food is part and parcel of the 2-week stay, but is there anything that you have to pay for whilst you're in your room? For example, the minibar, if there is one?
Oh, there's no minibar. You can order, you get the 3 meals a day, this, if you want, for example, you know, any alcohol or whatever, you can't order, you are not allowed to order it from outside, like supermarket. You can order food from a supermarket, but not alcohol. So then you have, you can order some wine from the hotel, and of course it comes with a price. So, you know, I was talking, which, you know, that maybe that actually explains why people are escaping these units, because if you pay $30 of the normal, you know, sort of standard bottle of wine, it's quite a lot.
Right, so you have to pay that when you leave, I suppose, if you order that. Or do you pay it when you get it? And when you order from the supermarket, your food from the supermarket, how do you receive that?
So they leave your shopping on the reception, and then someone brings it to your room, some of the, you know, the staff who is working here.
I see. And are they all wearing all the gear, the masks and the PPE?
Yeah, they have masks, but they haven't actually had other gear. So nurses have had the gloves, but I think after we had those two cases, then they seem to be more equipped.
Yeah. And what about any information when you arrived? Did you get any government information about your stay there? Was there a welcome pack or anything of that nature?
Yeah, we got, you know, a welcome pack, which explains the, you know, what happens during your stay, and it's pretty informative. And there are some curious bits in it, but it pretty much tells you what to expect and where to get help, and, you know, where if you, you know, depressed, where you can call and things like that. So it is actually quite good, sort of, you know, basic information brochure.
So have you got over your jet lag now? You've been there 5 days and you have quite a few more to stay.
Well, I can't wait until I get out, and or hopefully this nightmare finally ends. The jet lag is finally lifting. So, it's been 5 days. So first couple of days were, of course, horrendous, and because it was such a long journey, so you kind of, you know, go twice through the cycle. So, but yeah, now it's, you know, getting better, and luckily I have so much work to do. So,
yes.
So it keeps me busy.
And your husband is probably listening to this, and your family, so they'll be happy to hear your voice. But I guess you're keeping in touch with them by phoning.
Yeah. I talk to them daily, because it's, you know, otherwise you would go insane.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for telling us all about your journey back home, there and back, and welcome home. And we hope that your stay there is as good as can be expected, and you get home in one piece.
Oh, thanks for that.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Just talking there to Dr. Maria Mililati, who is in isolation in Rotorua, and just her journey home, just to give you an idea of how it has been for some people. It's, well, for all of those who have come back, perhaps not the length of the journey.